This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
The Live Feed is getting a little crude this week as we welcome the Minneapolis-based rock band, the F-Knights. Members Greg, Joe, and Mike, otherwise known as Sir Getzalatopus, Lord Balahag, and Nudemore Gruel, played their garage-style music at Ed's No Name Bar in downtown Winona. Comparable to the Sex Pistols in the late 70s, the F-Knights have an upfront, unabashed attitude that their name and music reflects.
This is Anna Flores, and you're listening to KQAL. I'm here with the F-Knights. And if you just go around and introduce yourselves and what you do in the band.
I'm Sir Getzalatopus. I play drums and sing, a.k.a. Skeleton Hand, a.k.a. Sir Gregory.
Lord Balahag, lead bass.
I'm Nudemore Gruel, guitar player.
Great. So, what's with the nicknames?
It's funny.
It's funny. That's basically all it is.
Well, you know, we're knights, so we have to have some knightly names.
Yeah.
There's sort of a medieval theme, you know. The knights mixed with some sort of double entendres. It's really clever.
Yeah, we're very clever. That's what it comes down to.
So, I guess we'll just start out with where you guys started. I mean, how did you get into music? What did you start playing? What kind of influences did you have?
I was born in Ohio, and there was nothing to do because it was very rural. And aside from vandalism and underage drinking, the only other thing to do was play in a band, so
I did. I played in a band, did the vandalism and the underage drinking.
As well?
All at the same time.
But you're from Minnesota.
Yeah.
In Nudemore...
Well, I'm actually from rural Michigan. I moved to Minneapolis some lifetimes ago, and I just started playing trumpet when I was a kid, and I've translated that training to guitar.
Does it cross over pretty easily?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that if more guitar players were to have visual brass training, they'd be a lot better off. I think there's too many guitar players taking guitar lessons.
Mm-hmm. And you, how many songs have trumpet now? Three? Two? Abrasions? Give Me Your Heart.
Well, they all have guitar, so there's kind of trumpet on everything.
Yeah. Trumpet guitar. Brass trumpet.
Yeah. You're not really following
what he's trying to say is he plays trumpet on some of our songs.
Yeah. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that I'm not a guitar player, that I'm a trumpet player who's applying the concepts of trumpet to guitar. Mm.
Okay.
So it, sometimes when it's really successful, it'll sound like just like a trumpet, which is rare. For the most part, it'll sound more like a guitar than a trumpet, but sometimes it will sound just like a trumpet. And that's the result of, you know, my background in trumpet. You know, I can make the guitar sound kind of like a trumpet sometimes.
Okay. I can kind of understand that the musical discipline coming from just any kind of instrument transferring over, but...
And trumpets signal Armageddon, too, so...
That's a little heavy, man.
I think this is an interesting question. What was the first album you ever got or bought?
Not the first one we listened to, but the one we actually got ourselves?
Yeah, the one that you went out, saved your money for, and bought.
Dare to Be Stupid by Weird Al Yankovic.
Well, I'm going to say that when I was a kid, I can remember liking the Beatles and being in the record store and selecting Meet the Beatles, which I didn't really, you know, buy with my own money, but it was kind of like the first record that I was able to, you know, hey, pick a record.
Mm-hmm.
And Meet the Beatles. It should have chose, you know, a cooler Beatles record.
If I remember correctly, mine was White Album, so...
Yeah, well, the White Album is the coolest Beatles record.
When and how did the band form?
Well, we've all been playing music for 20 years, Joe, 20 years, me, then you're probably, 25 years in.
Yeah.
So let's see, 65 years worth of music, you know. I don't know, we've all been in other bands, and this band formed 2008, beginning of 2008, and... I moved to Minneapolis from Brooklyn by way of Ohio and was here in Minneapolis for grad school. I'm a graphic designer as well. And I met Joe. We live in the same neighborhood. And even though I had claimed at the time that I didn't want to return to bandland because I was through playing music at the time, we got together and it worked. So then we, you know, auditioned a few different guitarists. And
the name, just where did it come from? Who thought of it?
We have a practical answer and then a fanciful answer.
I'd love to hear both.
The practical answer is that when the Lord and I were auditioning for guitarists, one of them was only available to play in the days. And we had suggested, you know, what time do you want to play? Should we play at night? And his response was, fuck nights, let's play in the day. So that's the practical. And then the more fanciful one is that, you know, we picture ourselves as creating and distributing love.
Not to speak for Greg, but, you know, I'd say that Greg is steeped in, like, the history of, like, garagey music, and I think that isn't there an element of, like, the Knights as being the kind of, like, the pretentious spin on the name is that it's a reference to, like, a certain kind of band, like Sir Gregory and his Knights, you know, would be like, it sounds like a band that would be on, like, the Nuggets
Shadows
compilation.
Of Knights.
Yeah,
And also, like, the classical kind of archetype of the troubadour traveling and playing music. I mean, you know, and that's what, again, the fanciful and romantic version of that question is that we're...
Cross with the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, right, exactly. Being very crass.
Well, there's been bands lately with the F word in their name, you know, like F'd Up and...
F Buttons.
Holy F. No, these are like...
Total Effing Blood.
These are like new bands.
Yeah.
And then, you know...
Obscenity isn't shocking anymore.
It's always funny to misspell words, too.
Right, in 20 years, we're going to be able to say F, just like you can say Sex Pistols. Honestly, it's probably as offensive now as Sex Pistols was in 70.
So, I mean, do you guys find 76. That, like, since you guys have been on the road, that, like, people are, I mean, who's offended by the band name?
You know,
anyone?
Not really, but people assume they're going to be offended, so they want to censor it.
But I don't know. It's not like we're ever intending to make it some confrontational, subversive thing. It's just is not an offensive thing to me. You know, to me is like love, really. I mean,
yeah, right on.
I mean, so it's not
right on.
It's not
right on, man. Right on.
Yeah, it's not a. It's not offensive. So
no, it's not offensive.
You got to do really bold stuff to get noticed these days. Yeah.
I believe that. I think maybe then this kind of narrows down who would really want to hang out with you guys or
actually, yeah, we've talked about that before too. Where there's certain clubs that just will not book us based on the name alone. You know, and that's fine because we probably, well, actually, definitely wouldn't fit there anyway. So, and likewise with certain bands that wouldn't play with us or certain people wouldn't buy it. But if somebody's going to be offended by it, then they're not going to understand it anyway. So.
That's what I've thought. Right. I saw when I first met these guys that it was kind of an interesting name because it answers a lot of questions about the band right off. Like, you know, there's a lot of bands in the world and anyone who's going to be bummed out or, like, offended, I mean, it's like, you're probably wasting your time anyway.
Where does the inspiration for your songs come from? I mean, who's the one that writes it? Is it more about the music or the lyrics? What happens?
I'm the primary songwriter. A lot of times it'll come to me. I'm the drummer. I can also play bass. I can also play guitar. And I started with those instruments and moved into drums as my experience as a musician grew. And I still think of my drumming, like you were saying with the trumpet thing, my drumming is a lot of time based on guitar because I started as a guitarist. A lot of times I'll have the beat in my mind, you know, a beat, and then I'll be able to play that beat and then come up with the bass line that accompanies that. Aside from that, you know, then we'll kind of flesh it out as a band. And lyrics, Mike is a writer. Mike's a poet. Yeah. Nudmore is a writer.
This guy you keep.
Yeah, Nudmore. Jesus, there we go again. Nudmore is a writer, and he's helped with a lot of my lyrics. I'll come in with a couplet here that I need a second couplet to finish it, so it's not second verse same as a verse, which a lot of times I like. Other times it's nice to have a full story, as it were. And Nudmore has fleshed out a lot of those lyrics. So,
Sir Gregory, but that's not your. That's your other name, is what? You have many aliases, Sir Gregory.
The Skeleton Hand. That's more of a DJ moniker.
He writes the songs. I mean, he's the creator, so to speak, and I think that the band is just a channel for his vision, and I'm comfortable with that, I think, you know.
And Mike Nudmore, he records us. He has a studio in Minneapolis called Albatross Studios. It's all analog, meaning we hit tape. There's no digital involved, which gives it a more authentic sound for, you know, having a vintage rock and roll feel to it.
So, I was trying to find some of your albums. Do you put out albums?
We're a singles band, really, and we work in increments of two or three songs at a time and then try to get those released. I mean, there's been many singles bands, like The Fall, for instance, is the first kind of one that comes to mind. And then we can kind of compile those as a full length, you know, once we gather 13, 14 songs or whatever. But I think it's also kind of a sign of times, too, with just, you know, you can buy one song offline or at a time. And people are more interested in the song than they are the album anymore.
But
I'm still interested in the album.
But should we be talking about your EP that you've...
Yeah, we did just finish an EP with Gary Berger from The Monks, which is a kind of a seminal classic garage band from the 60s. They're actually singer, Gary Berger, who recorded with a singer guitar player, lives in Bemidji, Minnesota. But anyway, through Lord Balahag's connections, through booking and working as an audio engineer, we were able to make a contact with Gary, and we recorded with him in June.
Yep.
2010, which is just a couple months, and recorded four songs with them, and that's going to be released on Crustacean Records out of Madison, Wisconsin in November. So we'll be on tour in November for 2 weeks, and our release party is November 11th at Hexagon Bar. And that'll be the release party and the tour kickoff. So,
what's it like, coming to Minnesota? I mean, you're from here, Joe, right? And everyone else isn't.
Lord Balahag.
Excuse me, Lord Balahag is from Minnesota.
We should just start
Minnesota.
This whole thing.
Yeah.
So what's the Minnesota music scene like?
I have something on that. I come from Cincinnati, essentially. I grew up there. And the main difference between Cincinnati and Minneapolis is that in Cincinnati, it's a much smaller group of people that are involved in the arts in general. And the only other people that you're performing in front of or involved with in the art scene is other artists and musicians. And there's really no support beyond that. In Minneapolis, there's so much more support, even if it's just in numbers, because there's so many people that's what they do, is they'll go and support music on weekends. That's unheard of from where I come from. You're only playing to other musicians. So it's been very fostering for me, because here in Minneapolis, rather, because we're in Winona right now, but in Minneapolis, I mean, it's just been nice because there is that support.
Well, I think just having been in Minneapolis for over 15 years and having been somewhere else long enough before that to know the difference, there's a lot, anytime there's a music scene or an art scene, there's people who are like, kind of sour about it. But I think you should try going to other places. Like, I think Minnesota in general and Twin Cities in particular, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not really like a half full kind of person, but I will say that like having traveled some and seen other towns, for music in particular, Twin Cities is just, it's great. But Mr. B, what do you think?
Yeah, from a native Minnesota.
Oh, you guys got it covered.
Well, you came from Watertown, right, to Minneapolis, and when you were in Watertown, right, you guys rent out the VFW halls and all that and do it completely DIY style.
Yeah, I mean, what's it like being raised as a serf in Watertown? Before becoming a knight,
Before your knighthood.
I mean, I was a serf in Mason. I was raised as a peasant in Mason, Michigan. And then I moved to the Twin Cities, and I worked as an apprentice for several years for the F-Knights before recently gaining my knighthood.
Have you played in Winona before?
Yeah.
And where was it?
At Ed's.
I think this is like our third or fourth time at Ed's.
Yeah.
Aren't there some tracks on a live record you guys recorded here?
We had two live albums, Live Volume 1 and Volume 2. And we have on the second one, I believe there is a couple tracks from one of our shows at Ed's.
Is there anything in particular you like about coming to the Winona area?
We've always been well supported here. It's always nice to play where people know you and come out to see you and like know your songs and are wearing your shirt and Ed's in Winona, is definitely one of those places for us. So.
Do you have any memorable shows that you can recall? Embarrassing moments, maybe?
I don't know. At the Empty Bottle in Chicago, we always do really well. And memorable, as a performer, a lot of times the more people there, the merrier, the better it is, and it becomes more memorable. Last couple times we hit Empty Bottle in Chicago, we had at least 200 through the door, so that's memorable. When we played in Detroit last time, actually Hamtramck, which is about 20 miles north of Detroit, but we played at Painted Lady with Timmy Volger's band, Human Eye, and they were being filmed for this documentary, and so that was memorable because it was kind of an event, it was being documented, which is cool, and Timmy, singer, had this giant eyeball mask, was it? He had some crazy papier-mâché mask on, and he, bashed his head in and pulled out his brains, and there's all this, crazy, pink stuffing he was pulling out. It was really cool, so, I mean, that was memorable. But Balahag, do you have any memorable...
I'm gonna tell a memorable. This is before I was a knight, but I remember being at a show at Palmer's in Minneapolis when the band was finishing one of his residencies, and Sir Balahag here finished off. I believe he finished the set by running the length of the bar. The Palmer's is very cramped. It's a very cool bar, but the bar is 2 feet away from the stage, which is very high, and Sir. Lord Ballhead ended the set by taking his shirt off, is that correct? And running the length of the bar.
Yeah.
Which really upset the bartenders.
But it was very deft in that he did not knock a single tip off the bar.
Well, he's
or
a populist.
Knock over a drink.
He's a populist, and we should get his side of it. But he offended the bartenders, but at the same time, he had the popular support, which probably ended up with more drinks being bought, which made the bartenders happy. So they were kind of mad, but just for a very short time. Because they realized it was, you know, it's basically good TV, you know?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Any comment, Lord?
That probably wasn't going to be your anecdote, right, Lord?
I guess it's one of my finer moments.
Yeah.
It's pretty spontaneous.
So, did it happen exactly as he explained it?
Actually, I think, first of all, I threw my bass through the ceiling, then I took my shirt off and wrapped it around my head, and...
That's right, he did have the shirt on the head, yeah.
And then I ran down the bar.
Yeah, training, you know.
Yeah. Do you guys have any final comments you want to say that we didn't yet touch on?
Yeah, on our website, you can check out, we have a lot of singles for sale and a lot of releases. So.
There's lots of cool merch that the band specializes in, ultra cool and high volumes, exactly, as well.
Which, you know, if you were to patronize, then it would help us stay on the road touring and in the studio recording.
Great. I'd thank the F Knights for sitting down in their van with me. And just stay tuned and you'll hear some more music.
Oh, sure. She is. I got a
I'd like to thank the F Knights for their entertaining interview and performance. Come back any Wednesday or Friday evening at 6:30 to listen to more great bands and musicians right here on The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.